Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our focus on contemporary theology, and last Lord's Day we touched on the charismatic movement, and this morning we focus on one aspect of the charismatic teaching or practice. Next Lord's Day, God willing, we shall focus on another aspect of the charismatic claims, such as miracles. They are one of the mainline denominations in Protestant circles that claim to perform a lot of miracles. And so next Lord's Day, we shall focus on another aspect, because the charismatic movement has taken the Protestant world by storm. We touched a little bit on that last Lord's Day. They never existed until 1906. But ever since then, slightly over 100 years, every one of us has been impacted by them. And it is not whether you want to or not, you are. We have loved ones, we have family members who are now in the charismatic movement. That's how powerful and potent and omnipresent they are in our lives. And therefore, we cannot afford to be ignorant of what they are doing. Now, if what they are doing is of God, then we should also practice them. But if it is not of God, then we have to beware of them. We have to be very careful of them. And we have to know what is the teaching of God's word regarding them, in order to protect ourselves, in order to help our friends and family members and loved ones who have been snared by them, and to help them come out of it. Today we shall focus on tongues. The book of Acts is where the word tongues was first revealed to us in the New Testament church. It appeared in Acts chapter 2 and subsequently in Acts chapter 10, and in Acts chapter 19, in all these occurrences where the word tongues is used, you realize that it is very clear that it refers to a language or a dialect. A language or a dialect with syntax and grammar. No doubt about it, because the people who heard them heard the apostles speaking in tongues. They understood what was spoken. And they all came from different parts of the Roman Empire, because it was the day of Pentecost. Jews from all quarters of the Roman Empire would assemble in Jerusalem, and that was part of God's design when the gospel was first preached by Peter and when the first local church was born in Jerusalem. And so these Jews from many different parts of the Roman Empire, they speak their own different dialects or languages depending on which part of the Roman Empire they came from. And so when God supernaturally gave to the apostles the ability to speak foreign languages that they never learned, because they were all from Galilee, they spoke their own language in Galilee. And so the people present, the Jews present, were very amazed. How come these Galileans are able to speak our language, our dialect? And so they understood what they were saying. Likewise in Acts 10, in Cornelius's home, likewise in Acts 19, when the disciples of John the Baptist were given the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when they accepted Christ, they also spoke in tongues. And so the charismatics will not use the experience in Acts to support what they are doing, because what they are doing is to utter certain sounds. And they claim that this is from God. And the passage they use to support their position is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In particular, the passage that we have chosen. And so therefore, we have to understand exactly what 1 Corinthians 14 is teaching concerning tongues, and use that to evaluate what the charismatics claim to be their biblical support for what they are doing. Now we know that when the charismatics speak their tongues, they do not know what they are saying. I've spoken to some of my friends who used to worship with me in my previous church. They speak in tongues, but they do not know what they are saying. Now, we call it gibberish. They call it a language. They call it a tongues. They have been told that they are speaking to God even though they do not know what they are saying. They are saying that they've been told that what they are saying is some form of angelic language. But we study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Whenever an angel was sent by God to speak to God's people, they all spoke proper languages. In the Old Testament, when the angels appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18, they spoke Hebrew. When the angels appeared to Daniel, when Daniel was in exile in Babylon, they spoke to him in Aramaic. And when the angel spoke to John in the book of Revelation and gave him the wonderful book of Revelation, they spoke to John in biblical Koine Greek. And so there is no basis for them to simply claim that this is an angelic language, since they do not know what it means themselves. But they've all been told that you are talking to God, even though nobody understands what anyone is saying. Not even the so-called interpreter, who just simply stand up and say whatever that comes to his mind. Because that's exactly what he was asked, and that's what they say. And yet they claim that this is from God. Can it be? Would God want us to speak something that we do not understand, we do not know what it's all about, and that is supposed to be praising him? Is that what it means? Let's examine the scripture and see what it says. The church in Corinth had many church problems. And one of the problems was the abuse of spiritual gifts. And the Apostle Paul's usual custom in dealing with problems is to give the doctrine first. And so he spent the entire 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to give the doctrine of spiritual gifts. And if you study 1 Corinthians 12, you realize that gifts are given by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is no schism. There is no argument or debate amongst the Trinity. This is to solve the problem that will come in chapter 14 that he had to deal with. And also the earlier chapters concerning schism. It is always united. And gifts are not for the Christian to ask. It is up to the will of God who gets what gift or gifts. You can't pray and force God to give you a particular gift. Our responsibility is to discover what our gifts are or is. Some may have one, some may have more than one. It all depends. And do not confuse spiritual gifts with natural talents. Some talents may appear to be similar to spiritual gifts, but don't get them confused. You and I are given the spiritual gifts at the point of our born again. Just like a person is given a natural talent when he is born into this world. And slowly as the child matures, you can see what the talent is. The talent was already inborn in that person. Some can play the music or piano very well. Some can play certain games very well. Some of them, we call them prodigies. They can paint very well. They can have many different natural talents so that we can live in this world. And it's given to everyone, believers and unbelievers alike. But spiritual gifts are the sovereign will and decision of the giver, and that is God, the Spirit of God. He represents God the Father, God the Son. When 1 Corinthians 12, the Spirit of God gives gifts as he wills. And every believer is given at least one gift, because that's why you are left behind. And the gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12, is for the profit withal. God gave you a spiritual gift, it is for the blessing of others. You are supposed to use it. You're not supposed to hide it. It is supposed to be used by you to bless others. And therefore, use your gift. If you are truly born again, you have at least one gift. You have to find out what it is. 1 Corinthians 12 also tells us that all gifts are important to God, and he used the illustration of a human body to teach us. Every part of the body is different. It has a different function, but it is necessary for the body to be complete. The eye cannot say, I don't want the nose, I don't want the mouth, I don't want the ear. All of us are of equal importance, just like the parts of a body, for the body to function as a whole properly. Only Christ is the head. We are all parts of the body of Christ. Now, he taught that in 1 Corinthians 12. And then he wanted to make sure that the motive is correct in the use of the gift. Whatever the gift you have, the motive must be right. And so he spent chapter 13 telling us that the motive has to be God's love. If it is not God's love, even if you have all the gifts of the world, it will be nothing. because your motive is wrong, you will bring about disaster, you will bring about problems and quarrels and arguments. And so he says, of all these three biblical truth, faith, hope, and love, which one is the best motive? Not faith, not hope, it is love. And that's how he concluded in chapter 13. Of these three, which one is the best motive? Love. And then once he has established that, he dives straight into dealing with the problems of the abuse of tongues. And that's what he did. Verse 1 to verse 17 is our focus. We have to go through very quickly because it's 17 verses. Verse 1 to verse 5 tells us, just like what he taught in 1 Corinthians 12, all spiritual gifts are for the blessing of others. That means it is to edify. Now, edify is to build up. To build up the faith of believers. That's what gifts are for. There are certain gifts that refer to teaching. They will build us up directly. There are other gifts that are not focused on teaching, like the gifts of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, as mentioned in Ephesians 4. They are gifts that teach us, help us understand the Word of God better. There are other gifts that will help us in another way, gifts of hospitality. There are some people who are very good. They have a very wonderful and happy disposition. They make you feel very welcome. You talk to these people, they may be strangers, but suddenly after 5 minutes, you talk as if you are old friends. And some people have an amazing gift of hospitality. They love to welcome people in their home, even though after they spend many hours preparing you to have a meal with them, and after your departure, they will spend another few hours to clean up the place. They don't mind it. They love it. They love to have people in their home. It is not directly related to the spiritual gifts pertaining to the Word of God, but it is also a spiritual gift that has a purpose and function, just like the many different parts of the body. All are for the profit and edification of others, to build up. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, follow after love, that is charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. So what was the abuse? The abuse was simply this. There were people who would speak the word of God in the language that the people in the congregation in the church in Corinth, they understand. And so he used the word prophecy. Prophecy means the word of God that the people understand. Tongues means the word of God that the people do not understand. Why do you want to speak the word of God that nobody understands? That's what they did. And that was the problem. El hekach noten lak. What did I just say? Lo tirza'ak. Lo tinaf. Lo tinof. Lo ta'aneh. Bereakach e shaker. I just read to you, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's taken from the Ten Commandments, if you do not already know. That's Hebrew. Got the Hebrew Bible here, as well as the Greek. Does any of you, do any of you know Hebrew? No. So what's the point? Even though they were the very word of God that God wrote with his own finger on two tables of stone given to Moses. But you don't understand it. What's the point? Because the word of God is given for one singular purpose, and that is to be obeyed. And you can't obey what you don't understand. And that's the problem. There were believers in the church in Corinth who wanted to speak the word of God because they have certain ability to speak the word of God in foreign languages where there is no one in the church in Corinth who understood that language. But they wanted to speak it nevertheless. Now, they do not have the kind of order of service that we have. When the missionaries from the West came over to this part of the world to bring us the gospel of Jesus Christ, The church had already been in existence for hundreds of years since the 16th century Reformation. And so when they brought Christianity to us, they also brought the order of service. And so when we become believers, and then we come together, and these missionaries from the West gather the converts into the churches in the early days, they did not have to invent their own order of service. They already have hymns. They already know what to do. They already know what are the steps, where the first part refers to men praising the Lord. And then the second half is now God's turn to speak. Therefore, they will be preaching the word of God. But in the early days, the order of service in the early church, they were not as well written, ordered, organized as what we have today. And so Paul had to arrest some of these problems. And so this problem came to him. There were people who wanted to speak the word of God. They wanted to preach. And there were those who can preach the word of God in the language that the people understood. He called it prophecy. And that's why he says in verse 1, very clearly, "But rather that ye prophesy." Now he already established all gifts are of equal importance, just like the parts of a body in chapter 12. But he also told us that gifts are for the edification, for the building up of the faith of believers. That means they must understand your use of your gift, including preaching the word of God. Now, if nobody understands, they are not edified, they are not built up because they don't know what you are saying. And that's why he says, between the two, prophesying and tongues, speaking the word of God in the language that people understand and speaking the word of God that nobody in the church understands. He says, prophecy is better. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, because God understands all languages. Now, we're talking about proper languages. We're not talking about gibberish. You don't know what you're talking. Nobody knows what you're talking. What you say has no syntax, no grammar. Please don't say that God understands you. God only understands proper languages because he is the God who gave man language. When Adam was created, Adam knew how to speak Hebrew. You mean in the Garden of Eden they spoke Hebrew? Yes, you read Genesis. That's written in Hebrew. And then later on, they only spoke one language after the flood. Only one language until Genesis 10, Genesis 11. When Nimrod wanted to organize the first one world church, one world government, God confounded the languages, and from that point onwards, they were forced to disperse because now there were three languages. Two particular descendants of two families. I believe they were Japheth and Ham. Suddenly they could not speak Hebrew. They were able to speak a new language. They lost the ability to speak the first language, which was Hebrew. And so they were forced to disperse. The descendants of Japheth went one direction, and we believe that they went up north. And then you have the others who spoke another language, the descendants of Ham. They went down south to the southern hemisphere. And then the people who spoke only Hebrew, they remained in the Middle East, that region. God is the one who gave man language. And that's what he said to Moses. When Moses said, "Lord, I cannot speak. I am the one who helped people to speak. You don't worry. I will help you to speak." And so God does not give us gibberish. This is a language that is in the people in Corinth do not understand. That's why Paul says, "Why do you want to speak a language that only you understand and only God understand?" We are talking about our church worship. And the purpose of someone speaking the word of God is for the blessing of the church. But nobody understands you. Only you understand what you are saying and only God understands what you are saying. So please, don't. "For no man understandeth him inside the church." Not no man in the whole world. No man in the church in Corinth. "Howbeit in spirit, he speaketh mysteries." As far as you and I are concerned, it's mystery. Just like when I read to you the Hebrew. I understand it. God understands it because God wrote it and gave it to Moses. You don't understand it, except those who know Hebrew. So what is the point of me reading all these in Hebrew? For the word of God is for people to obey. You can't obey what you don't understand. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to build up their faith, to exhortation, to comfort, and to comfort them, and that is to help them grow in the Lord. Encourage. That's the purpose. The word of God is given. So Paul says, speak the word of God that the people understand. It is good to have the ability to speak multiple languages, the word of God. You are very useful. But not in the congregation when people do not understand the language. The people who give the word of God, that is called prophecy in the language of the people, they will be edified, they will be exhorted, they will be comforted. And that is what the word of God is meant to do. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself. Only you are blessed. I read, I understood what it means. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. I understand, God understands, but you don't. So what is the point? But he that prophesieth edifies the whole church, which is exactly what the gifts are for. So when the word of God is preached in the language that the people understand, then the whole church is edified because they all have come for worship. This was during worship. Remember 1 Corinthians 11? Another problem with the worship was the abuse of the Lord's Supper. This was the context of worship. The people were abusing it. They are gift of the ability to speak the word of God in multiple languages. And that was the problem that Paul had to arrest. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, and that the church may receive edifying. See, Paul says, I hope that all of you speak with tongues, because it is good to speak multiple languages. I wish I could speak multiple languages. I wish I could speak Mandarin. I wish I could preach in Mandarin, so that when I preach in the Mandarin congregation, I do not need an interpreter, which would make the preaching more flowing. Now I can't. I don't speak Mandarin because I was a very naughty and lazy student when I was young. When we were very young, the first language that my parents taught us was Mandarin. Hated it. Never liked it. Now I regret it. Only love to play marbles, catch spider, climb trees, pluck mangosteen. That's what I enjoyed. That's what we did. All my brothers loved to be outdoors. Never liked to sit still. And then when we went to school, because I was in Seremban, English was our first language, Malay was our second language. And then when we come home, Chinese was our third language now, even though we were taught Chinese first. And so, marble was my first language. Playing marble, so now I can still play marbles. You know, you dig three holes, and then you're trying to hit the marble into the hole, and then if your opponent is trying to put the marble into the hole, and you take your marble and you try to hit his away, or smash it, break it if possible. You know that kind of game? Of course, you don't, you play computer games. You don't know what I'm talking about. That was our computer game. We invent our own games, my brothers and I. That's what we did. I wish I can speak many languages because it is for the promotion of God's word. Imagine how wonderful it is, because I know I'm useless. All the theology that I have, all the study I had in English is useless if you send me to China. I'm useless there. If there is no interpreter following me, whatever I preach, whatever I say, I know I am of little use or no use unless the people understand English. So what if I know Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek? That's what we study. But what's the point if the people don't understand what I'm saying? Because the word of God is for one purpose only, obedience. And you can't obey what you don't understand. And no, I know I can't help them. I can't help the brethren in China to build them up in the most holy faith. I can't because I don't speak the language. Even though I have the theology, even though I know the languages of the Bible, but because I don't speak Mandarin, I wish I speak many languages. That's what Paul meant. I would that you all speak many tongues, with tongues. Good to have many languages, but in the church context, in the congregation, in worship. But rather that ye prophesy, we are talking about this particular worship context. Speak the word of God that the people in the congregation understands. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. And that's why we have interpretation. This morning I spoke at the Mandarin. There was interpretation. because majority of them do not understand English. There were some who were bilingual, but many of them who were not. And so there was an interpretation. Paul was very careful and accurate. He has already established that all spiritual gifts are of equal importance. But then he had to deal with this abuse of the word of God that the people understand, that's prophecy, and the word of God that was preached that the people do not understand, for the problem probably was show off. Show off, because this gifts thrust the speaker in the limelight. And some of them want to be in the limelight. They bask in the limelight. And so Paul had to deal with this very carefully and without compromising the truth. And so he says, you speak the word of God in a foreign language, you have missed the point. The point of spiritual gifts is for the edification of the church, that the church may receive edifying. Build them up in the faith. Now, build them up in the faith means they must first understand. You cannot edify someone without understanding. That's why we do not have concert pianists. A person who plays the piano a tune that is very, very wonderfully played, but we do not know the words and the lyrics of the tune, there is no edifying, no edification. It's just music. It doesn't build up anybody's faith. But if you play a tune of a hymn that we are all familiar with, and then the lyrics and the words of the hymn comes to mind, and then we can sing, whether audibly or quietly in our heart, the words of the hymn will build up our faith. Because the words will edify our mind. The building up of the faith always involves the mind. If the mind is not involved, there is no edification. All you have is just feeling. Feeling is not edification. Edification means you build me up so that I can be more like Christ, so that the witness that I bear will be more Christ-like than world-like. That's what gifts are for, to help all of us to become more and more like Christ. Because as you and I live in the world will continue to bombard us and try to make us less and less Christ-like. The world cannot take away our salvation, but the world can destroy our holy witness. The spiritual gifts are given to us by God, and they are only useful here on earth to help us become more and more Christ-like and retard and push away the influence of the world. That's what spiritual gifts are for. To help us maintain and improve in our witness for Christ. That's what it is. And if you do not preach the word of God that the people understand, how can they be edified? That's why when we talk about Christian fellowship, it's not just simply coming together and eat. It's not just simply coming together and talk about some sports that both of you or everyone likes, about world soccer, whatever it is. Where there is no Christian emphasis, where there is no encouragement in the work and the will of God in our lives. What you have is just simply a few Christians coming together, but it was not truly Christian fellowship. Because after 1-2 hours together, after eating the meal, my faith is not strengthened, I'm not drawn closer to the Lord after our 2 hours together. So what we have is just fellowship of Christians, not Christian fellowship. Because there was nothing Christian about our fellowship, because we didn't talk about Christ. You didn't help me draw closer to Christ. You did not help me to become a better believer after 2 hours, or 3 hours, or 1 hour, whatever the time is. Don't confuse. You may have the gift of hospitality, but sometimes you forget that it's supposed to be Christian hospitality, where Christian fellowship is a very amazing and unique and precious commodity that the world does not understand. The world's fellowship is all around carnal things. People of the same standard, people who are of the same position in society, they will have their own fellowship because of the same things that they have in society. And so you have the rich fellowshipping with the rich. The poor will feel very out of place with the rich. If the rich people, they want to have a fellowship and they want to, say, have a tea in Shangri-La, I don't want to go. I can't afford it. I'm not going to spend that kind of money just to drink tea. I go to Kopitiam. I can have my tea. $2-something, $3. I can have 2 eggs. I can have toast and I can have a cup of coffee. I don't need to be in Shangri-La. So if they invite me, I don't want to go. Say, thank you very much. I'm not interested. You can go, fine, carry on, you can go, you can well afford it. And so they have their own fellowship based upon their standard, their common whatever, common education, common status and standard in society. That's a fellowship. But for us, our fellowship, our common is Christ. Our common fellowship is the spiritual experience that you have in Christ, I have in Christ. And the stronger the fellowship that you have with Christ, the stronger our fellowship is with one another. And this is taught clearly by John in 1 John chapter 1, where he focused on Christian fellowship, teaching us how to do it. Same for the Word of God. Why preach the Word of God that nobody understands in the language that only you understand and only God understands? That has to stop, because the use of the gift is for the edification of the saints, especially in worship. That's why we do not have an interpreter into Swahili. Any of you speak Swahili? No. So imagine if we have a Swahili person standing next to me. I speak in English and they interpret into Swahili. Then you think that I'm crazy. You think the board of elders is crazy. Why do you want to interpret into Swahili when nobody understands Swahili? So we don't do it. Because the Bible says stop. But the Swahili speaker, I want to show off. I want to show you that I can speak Swahili. What's the point? That was the problem. And that's why Paul says in the first few verses, in nipping the problem, don't forget that every spiritual gift is for the edification of others. Always. If you have the gift of preaching or teaching, don't stand in front of your bathroom mirror and teach yourself. Use it. Find out whether you have the gift to speak to young people, children, or the elderly, or both. Some have the ability to speak to both. They can come down to all levels. And that is an amazing gift. Use it. Don't just simply study the Word of God and hide in your closet and only speak to yourself where only you can understand the Word of God properly, and you refuse to use it to bless and teach others. That's what it's for. All spiritual gifts are the profit with all. 1 Corinthians 12. And now he is applying that principle. And using that principle, he's telling those who are speaking the Word of God in a foreign language to, shh, don't use it. Unless you have an interpreter, please don't. Because you don't edify anyone in the church. Because the spiritual gifts are for the edification, the building up of the faith of others. Where the mind is always built up. Where they understand the Word of God, where they understand who Christ is, where they understand who God is better. Verse 6 to verse 17. It must be understood. The gibberish of the charismatics, not understood by anyone. It must be understood. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, which is the Word of God, in the language of the people concerning future things, for example, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. All of them about the Word of God that people understand. All the many different facets. Even things without life give sounds, which is true. Where the pipe, when the pipe is played, pipe makes a distinct pipe sound. The harp, a distinct harp sound. Even dead instruments. Dead musical instruments have its own distinct sound. Imagine a drum, when you play it, it comes out like guitar. Impossible. A guitar, when you play it, it sounds like drum. Impossible. Even dead objects, musical instruments have a unique distinct sound. Except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? So when you speak the Word of God in a foreign language, nobody understands you. What is the point? We don't know what you are saying. Even a dead instrument you play, it makes a distinct sound. And yours is a sound that we don't understand. So don't speak it, basically. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? When people play the trumpet in those days, when you study the book of Numbers, they tell you the different kind of trumpet sound. You blow this, time for worship. You blow this in the battlefield, advance. You blow this in this manner, it's retreat. You blow this, it is now holy day. Everybody stop work. It is a day of fasting. It's a day of remembering the Lord's goodness. So different way of blowing the trumpet has a different significance and different purpose. So when you teach the Word of God, God always gives us His Word to help us to become more and more like Christ, but nobody understands you. Why do you want to speak the word of God that nobody understands? And God's word are always for people to understand, always, without exception. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known? That means, how can people understand it and obey it? What is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. That's why this morning when I was there in the Mandarin service, when I was listening to them sing hymns, if I don't understand the tune, as far as I was concerned, they are singing to the air. I don't know what they're singing. I don't speak Mandarin, except for one or two words. Now improve, maybe three or four words now. A little bit more. But I don't understand many of the words. When they sing on a hymn, they project the words onto the wall. I look at them. I don't understand what they're saying. To me, they're just sound. But to the people who were singing, they understood exactly what they were saying. But to a person who doesn't understand, like me, that's it. I just stood there and wait for it to stop. They stand, I stand. They sit, I sit. But I don't know what the meaning of the words were. So I didn't join them in singing. I didn't pretend. Didn't open my mouth and just utter some sound which I don't understand. Same. That's what Paul meant when he said, what shall it be known, what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So many different kinds of languages, so many different kinds of sound, whatever it is, every single one of them has its own unique distinction. Right? A bird make a bird sound, a dog make a dog sound, a cat make a cat sound. Human beings make human beings sound, speak a language. God give us languages. Speak a language that the people understand. Therefore, I know not the meaning of the voice. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me, which is true. When we were in Korea, we arrived at midnight. And so, we were hungry when we went out for supper. So by the time we finished supper, we jalan-jalan, it was 2 a.m. and we got lost. You know how terrible it is to be in winter and you got lost? In the time our children were with us, they were not as old as what they are now. I can't remember how many years ago. But we were with another church family, our brother Chun Sing and our sister Lenny. And then we got lost, and we tried to find our way to this dingy little place that we were staying in with our luggage. First time we arrived. Never been to Korea before, my first time also. And so we walk around, we see a Korean, try to open our mouth and talk. I don't know what he's saying. He doesn't know what I'm saying. Couldn't help us. And so I was exhausted, I was tired, my feet were aching, and I don't know what to do. You get into a crab, no use, because I can't speak the language. You go to a cab, you tell them what. And so we came on walking, went to this, like, 7-Eleven. There was food there, and so we bought something to eat, and then we came out, tried to ask for direction. They point here, point there, we walk here, walk there, we still got lost. Because we don't understand what they are saying. We don't understand. Barbarian. To me, also my English to them is ba ba ba. Their Korean to me is ba ba ba. I mean, I can make sound that sound like Korean. Sounds like Korean, right? Because that's how they speak. I don't know what I'm saying. Right? But that's what Korean is. I mean, I know a bit here and there. I say wrongly, I know, because I know some of you might think that I'm saying anyhow say. Right? Anyhow sounds like anyhow say. Which is true. Anyhow say. Right? That's a barbarian. You don't know what they are saying. But thank God, suddenly out of the blue, there was a stranger. I call him an angel. And then we used a map and point the place. And then he brought us to the place. It was dark. It was a narrow lane. It was cold, shivering, 2+ now in the morning. I was tired and exhausted and sleepy. And by the time we arrived there, we turned around to say thank you to him. He disappeared. That's why I call him an angel. I was so happy to find a place, have a quick shower, and then knocked out. You know how terrible it is to be in a foreign land when you don't speak the language and you are lost? You know how disastrous it is to be in a church where the people speak the word of God that you don't understand, and they're all praising the Lord all around you, and you just stood there and you don't know what they're saying? I had the experience when I was in Holland. I was really a Christian. I was working then. And my boss posted me there for about 3 weeks. And I want to go to church. In those days, the computer was very, very archaic. It just came into the market. And so there was no internet. There was no online service or any of these things. And so I was seated in the park on the Saturday, no work, hoping to find someone who can speak English, someone who is of the same color skin as I was, or I am. And so the Dutch, they don't speak English. So I was at this park, seated there, enjoying the sunshine. Then I saw this Chinese walking by. I don't know who he is. I don't care. I just love to see the Chinese. So I started to speak to him. He's from Hong Kong. He speaks Cantonese. I speak Cantonese. And so I started to speak to him. And, hey, he's a Christian. And so he asked me, you want to come? I want to come to church and so on. Oh, tonight we have a meeting. Would you like to come? I said, sure. I said, what time does the meeting start? Oh, we have a prayer meeting, a fellowship meeting, and we start at 12 midnight. I say, what? 12 midnight? I say, okay, never mind, I'll come. Because most of the worshippers, they are children of parents who own restaurants. And they cannot have any service until they help their parents clean up the restaurants after they close. And that's why their services are way, way wee hours in the morning. And it was very freezing cold because it was the tail end of the year when I was there for 3 weeks. And so he picked me up. I told him where I was staying. And so he picked me up in his car and he put his baby in the baby basket in the boot, husband and wife. So I arrived there. I was very happy to see, wow, all Chinese. So I joined them. They introduced me. I just sat there and worshipped. You know what's the problem? They worship in Cantonese. My Cantonese is to buy food in the market. I don't speak Cantonese the way they speak. I don't sing Cantonese hymns. And so again, even though I speak Cantonese, I don't know what they were saying. I look at the words, they're all in Czech. I don't know how the Chinese language works. You have the Chinese character. The guy can use the same character and read in Mandarin. The guy can use the same character and read Cantonese. They use the same character and read Hainanese. The same character and read Hokkien. The Chinese character can be read in so many different languages and dialects, not like the English, right? If it's English, it's English. I can use the same alphabet and turn it into Bahasa. But this Bahasa is not English. And so they project the same thing like what I experienced this morning on the wall. And then they all sang in Cantonese. I know the tune, I know the hymns. But I can't join them. I don't speak Cantonese the way they do. Mine is very bad market Cantonese to buy food, to survive. But theirs is for worship. I felt again like a duck out of water, even though I was among Chinese, among believers, and they spoke a language that I can understand barely, but I can't join them. That's why Paul says, it is good that you speak many languages, but don't abuse it. The word of God is for the people to understand. They must understand the meaning, otherwise it's just one barbarian to another barbarian, Babel. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, which is good, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Always seek to bless others, to edify, to build up the faith of others. Wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Pray that there will be an interpreter who will do it for him. Otherwise, don't speak. You see, when you speak, when you preach, you cannot be your own interpreter. All right, you have to find another person to interpret. That's why when I preach, Elder Chong has to interpret. Even if I know Mandarin, I cannot preach and then interpret myself. That's why you must find an interpreter. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayer, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means my understanding does not bear fruit in your life. So even if I pray in a foreign language, so if I pray in English, in my closing prayer after I finish preaching, I need Elder Chong to interpret. Otherwise, the people don't understand what I'm praying and they cannot say amen to me. So I need him to interpret for me. And that's what verse 14 means. My understanding is unfruitful. It doesn't bear fruit in your life. You don't know what I'm praying. You cannot say amen with me. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, so that people will be blessed, so that there will be an interpreter to interpret my prayer as well. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, do not just simply speak the word of God. Do not just simply pray in another language. Do not just simply sing in another language. Everything you do, make sure there is an interpretation so that people can understand. When we were in Mersing after our FEBC, once a year in May, we will go down and then we will have the students from many other countries presenting their own items in their own language. One of the guidelines is they have to interpret for us before they sing. Otherwise, we don't know what they're singing. And where do you get the teaching from here? Pray, you need interpretation. Sing, you need interpretation. Preach, you need interpretation. Everything that pertains to worship for the blessing and edification of others, the moment someone does not understand what you are singing, what you are praying, what you are preaching, please get an interpretation. Explain. Otherwise, people will not be edified. People will not be built up in the faith. They will not be drawn closer to Christ because they don't understand what you are saying, what you are doing. That's what it means here. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen? I won't say amen to your prayer that I don't understand. I don't say prayer amen to your blessing that I don't know what you just said. At the giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest. Just like when you give thanks for the meal. You want to give thanks for the meal in a language that nobody understands. What is the point? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the others, they are not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also that than 10,000 words in a tongue that nobody understands, which is true. I have my theology, you don't. But you speak Mandarin, I don't. So let's say we are in China. I can speak one whole full hour of preaching and sermon, but nobody understands me. And then you stand up and you speak simply 5 words, a simple one paragraph of encouragement that they understand. You are far better than me. Many times, because they understood you. Mine, with all my theology, and I speak for 1 hour, 10,000 words, but nobody understands. What's the point? Tongues of the charismatic, they cannot be of God, because when you use the Bible to evaluate it, nobody understands what anybody is saying. Is it of man? Some of them are. Because if you speak to some of them, they are taught to roll their tongue and roll their tongue fast enough, and then by peer pressure, by force of will from others around them, they begin to speak in tongues. But then there are those who say that I did not learn it, I did not force myself. Suddenly, I just simply open my mouth and it comes out. These are of the devil, which is worse. One, self-induced, which is manned delusion. You deceive yourself because you want to be part of this group. And by peer pressure, you are forced into that mold by them. Come out. But to those who say, I did not learn it, I did not, it just suddenly happened. It is not of God. If it is what you just claim, it is of the devil. Remember, the God of this world is still very much alive. The Bible says he has blinded the minds of the people who do not accept the gospel of Christ. Blinded the minds means he has nothing to do with your IQ. The spiritual realm cannot be understood or penetrated by your IQ. You can be the most brilliant man on earth, but if you're not born again in Christ, you can't see nor understand spiritual things. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And therefore, you have people who are very clever in the things of the world. High positions in office, running multi-million or billion-dollar organizations and companies, making decisions that can impact hundreds or thousands of employees. But when it comes to the things of the spiritual realm, they will go to churches and they've been told by people that open your mouth and just open your mouth and roll your tongue, and what you are saying, which you don't know a word of what you are saying, is complete, utter nonsense, it's gibberish. And yet, they tell you that you are talking to God and you simply blindly, without discernment, believe. How come? That's what the Bible says. It is a deception. You and I know how important words are to God. You don't just simply open your mouth and say something. God holds you accountable. Do you remember the incident of Kadesh Barnea? The people of Israel came out of Egypt murmuring and complaining all the way for the past 1.5 years. Until they arrived at Kadesh Barnea, when God said, all right, 12 spies go in and search the land. 10 spies came back and said, we are not able. We are like grasshoppers. They are like giants. We cannot go in. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, we can go in by faith. We must. God says, God will help us. God says, we can. We will succeed. It's up to the congregation now 603,548 of them. First, they say, no, we cannot go in. Moses, Joshua, Caleb told them, no, please, take back your word. By faith, we have to go in. Please. We were there too, Joshua and Caleb said. We saw what they saw. We, by faith, we can go in. God is greater than them. The moment those 605,000 open their mouth, it's going to seal their fate. What did they say? They refused to listen to Joshua and Caleb, and they say, no, we cannot go in. The moment those phrases, we cannot go in, came out of their mouth, the Lord himself intervened. You don't want to go in? You will not go in. All 603,548 of you will now die in the wilderness, for every day you spend wrecking the land, you spend 1 year in the wilderness, and that's why 40 years, because they took 40 days. The people repented immediately. The Lord said, no, it's over. Your own words have now condemned you. They uttered those words. We cannot go in. We don't want to go in. That was it. They did not know that those words was their Kadesh Barnea. It was the final complaint and final murmur. They murmured and complained. No food complaint. No water complaint. Complain, complain. They never realized that this final act of unbelief was it. The Kadesh Barnea. You know how important words are? It sealed their eternity, their fate. They all perished in the wilderness. It was a new generation that God had to raise up during this next 40 years, led by Joshua to enter the promised land. That generation, 20 years and upward, lost it because of their words, because of their mouth. Words have always been very crucial and important to God. That's why it is foolishness for Christians, so-called Christians, to open your mouth and talk gibberish and call it, I'm talking to God. Nobody knows what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying, and you are talking to God. God says, in the last days, I will send a delusion. And that's why it is a delusion. Do you know that the charismatic movement is the movement used by the devil to bring about the one world church? It's already here. The one world church is already here. You can see this. You have already seen this in Singapore. Do you remember the two major disasters of our airlines? One in Indonesia, the other one in Taiwan, where many were killed. And then there was a gathering of people of many different faiths taking turns to pray for the disaster, to pray for the dead. One by one, people from all major faiths, religions, organized by the National Council of Churches. It's here. It's already taken root. It is already global. Every major city has the arm and leg of the National Council of Churches, which belong to the World Council of Churches, which is what we're going to focus on at the tracting ministry. That's what the charismatic has done. It erased all denominational lines, where Christianity has suddenly become only experience in nature, where the Word of God is just simply set aside. They don't care what the Bible says anymore. All they care about is how you feel. If you feel good, you are talking to God. If you feel good, you are talking to God. And that's exactly what has happened. Tongue speaking is not of God. It is not biblical. It's either of the devil or some psychological behavior of certain individuals. Either way, it is wrong. Come out of it. If you know friends or family members who are in it, let them be taught the truth. Take this sermon and give it to them and help them to see and understand that they have been deceived. No matter how many years they have been speaking in tongues, they must stop and they must know that it's better late than never to continue to remain in deception and delusion, opening your mouth and uttering nonsense and gibberish, and been duped and deceived into thinking that you are talking to God when you are talking to no one. You are in deception and in delusion. The Word of God is very plain and clear. If it is truly of God, there must be edification, which means there must be proper understanding. And if none of these are true, it cannot be of God, because there is no other Bible passage that talks about tongues other than 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And those three chapters in Acts 2, 10, and 19. May God help us to be discerning. May God grant us courage after discernment to do what is right. Will you do what is right to protect yourself and to protect and help your friends come out of this deception of the last days? May God be merciful. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for salvation that we have in Christ, even in this last of the last days. For we know that in these last of the last days, we live in very momentous, but also very perilous times. For you have revealed to us that the faith of Christianity will fall away. Help us therefore, O Lord, to make sure of our own salvation first, and grant to us the understanding and illumination that we may have the discernment and the courage to know what is right according to the Scriptures, and the courage to do what is right, so that our friends and family members and loved ones may be given the truth and be delivered from the deception of these last days. Use us, O Lord, grant to us a heart of flesh and a burden for souls, that we may do our part. Even though you have delivered us and you have enabled us to see, may thou help us to help others to see, that they will no longer be in delusion, but they will be free, for the truth will indeed set us free, free from errors, free from the delusion of the god of this world. For thou alone art able through the word of life. We pray, Father, that the powerful double-edged sword, which is the word of God, may be used by thee, O Lord, to save our family members, friends, and loved ones out of the snare of the charismatic movement, which is the tool used by the evil one to bring about the one world government and the one world church of the Antichrist. Help us to see this, know this, understand this, and protect us from it. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.